Listening Library presents No Castles Here by A.C.E. Bauer. Read for you by John H. Mayer. Crossing the River. Augie Beretsky snuck out. "Stay in," Mom had said before leaving for work. "I'll be home by 6. "Stay in? On a super muggy 100-degree day in August?" Their second-floor apartment had to be at least 120, even with the rickety fan going full blast. The old lady downstairs stopped him as he opened the front door.
"Your mama. She worry."
Augie shrugged. What did Mrs. Laurentushky know, wearing her long-sleeved dress and flowery apron on a day like today?
"I'll be okay,"
he said before letting the screen door slam shut. Besides, Mom didn't have to worry. He wasn't sticking around this neighborhood. He counted the change in his bulging shorts pockets, checking one last time that he had enough to make it to Philly and back. He was getting out of here. Out of Camden, the armpit of the world, he thought. Home to losers and drug dealers. Philadelphia sparkled across the Delaware River from the Camden waterfront. The buildings looked like castles, with spires and promise. He walked the 10 blocks to the Ferry Street station. At 11 in the morning, Augie didn't fear the gangs. He fed his coins to the ticket machine and boarded the train. He had escaped. Within minutes, he climbed out of the 13th Street station, ready to explore the big city without his mom there fussing. Walking down Locust Street, Augie passed one tall building after another, each looming above him like a fortress with its drawbridge up. Cars zoomed past, but except for one man in a business suit and one woman in a crisp dress, the sidewalks were empty. The buildings became shorter and turned to brick. Waves of heat rose from the concrete. Then he noticed the side streets. Unlike the wide avenues he'd been crossing, these side streets were narrow, with small gardens, gnarled trees, and sometimes a barbecue grill. He turned into one full of shade. Shiny white teeth peeked out from a store window. White teeth? He stared at the display. The teeth belonged to a large toy donkey with round eyes and a red and gold blanket on its back. The animal brayed at a doll dressed like a princess who crouched to pick flowers. Curiosity pulled him into the shop. After the door closed behind him with a tinkling of bells, Augie realized that he should have paid more attention to the books he had seen at the princess's feet. What was he going to do in a bookstore? He spun around, lifted his arm to pull the door open, and paused. He felt his wet T-shirt unpeel from his back. His neck prickled as beads of sweat cooled in the air conditioning. Nice. He could use a break from the sun. He let his arm drop and turned back around. What was he going to do in a bookstore? He'd never been in a bookstore before. There were none in his Camden neighborhood. The closest shop was a bodega 2 blocks away that cashed checks and sold milk and bread. Aspirin and razor blades were kept behind bulletproof plexiglass, along with cigarettes. Augie never hung around there. The owner rushed people in and out, saying, "This ain't no museum." This bookstore was entirely different. It had an unhurried quiet that Augie liked. The quiet wasn't awful, like in the classroom when everyone prayed someone else was going to be called upon. There was no edge to this quiet. People moved about, minding their own business, at ease with each other. "Thank you, Louisa," a customer said to a tall African-American woman with her dark hair pulled into a knot. She smiled, and her gray eyes shifted for a second and focused on Augie. Augie ducked into an aisle. He didn't want to be noticed.
He had gone only a few paces when he saw a deep chair with enormous cushions in faded black leather. On its seat lay a dark green book with gold letters etched into the cover. He lifted the book, sank into the chair, and pushed his glasses back up his nose. Ah! He looked up. On the wall next to him hung a yellowed picture of a dignified African-American gentleman in a three-piece suit with a straw hat and a cane. He sat under a tree, next to a stately white woman in a long, pale lace dress, her hair piled up high with a tiny hat perched forward on top of her head. They stared at him, as if amused by his presence. "What are you looking at?" Augie asked them. The shopkeeper seemed to answer him. "I have several volumes covering mollusks over here." She was leading a customer in Augie's direction. He opened the book he still held, as if he were interested. Maybe she wouldn't notice him with his nose buried in a book. Augie didn't like to read. He read whatever he was told to read at school, most of the time. At home, he watched the few TV channels they could catch, or sang along with music on the radio. They didn't own any real books, none that he remembered. But something odd happened when he cracked open that green spine. The very first page had a picture of the braying donkey from the store window. But this time, it held its tail high. It pooped golden coins into a silver bowl held by a king in crimson robes. The princess was nowhere to be seen. Awesome! He turned the page. The first letter of the first word was an elaborate L with green vines all around it and a donkey head peeking out from behind it. The words were crisp black on a creamy white. He touched them with the tips of his fingers. It made no sense. They almost felt alive. Augie was 11 and a half. This was his time for adventure. He hadn't figured out it would begin in a bookstore. He started reading. Donkey Gold. Long ago and far away, a great and powerful king owned a donkey that he treasured beyond all other possessions. Instead of manure, the donkey produced gold, and so the kingdom was always wealthy. One day, the king's wife died, and he was left with a young daughter, Annette. The king had loved his queen dearly, and was grieved by her loss. He could not bear to see anything that reminded him of her, especially not their beautiful young princess. So, Annette was sent off to the far recesses of the castle to be cared for by her fairy godmother, who had instructions never to allow the girl within eyesight of the king. The king grieved for 15 years, while his counselors fretted. "You need a male heir," they told him, "and a queen to produce one." The king finally relented. He agreed to remarry. "But on one condition," he said, "my new bride must be as beautiful and as intelligent as my dear departed wife." The court searched far and wide, but for naught. The king dismissed one eligible woman after another as not being beautiful or intelligent enough. One spring morning, the king decided to take a walk in his gardens. This futile search for a wife was tiresome. Why couldn't his court understand that he didn't want to remarry? Then, as he fretted, he caught sight of the most beautiful maiden he had ever seen. She was cutting flowers and laying them in a basket while humming to herself. Her motions were as fluid as a mountain stream, her face fresher than a rose, and her voice more melodious than a nightingale's. The king was thunderstruck. His empty heart filled with desire. This was the maid he wanted to marry. The king ran to the gardener. "Tell me," he commanded, Who is the fair lady?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?